My hands tremble as I open my notebook and flip to the page I wrote the poem on. I could recite it without looking. But I need this barrier because, God, this is crazy. It's fucking crazy and it's turning me on. Words blur as a full-bodied tremble clutches me in its grip. I grab the knob behind my back with one hand and tighten the hold on my notebook with the other. Somehow I focus and get the words to stop swimming.
It burns when you look at me.
I whisper, my tongue feeling heavy.
Flames dance in your eyes, in them the fire resides, turning me into ashes, black and powdery. It's a slow process. My disintegration.
I stop to take a breath. My breasts are heavy and so are my thighs, heavy and needy. I rub my ass against the smooth door, which does nothing to abate the thick lust in me.
Keep going.
It begins with a spark of heat, a sizzle so tiny. I jump when I feel something brush against my throat.
I almost drop the notebook when I see his finger grazing the top of my coat. Every time I'm hit by the fact that his fingers are so long and thick. Tiny curls of hair sprout from his knuckles, making them look masculine.
They feel right, which means it's probably wrong. What are you doing?
Thomas is focused on the task.
Unbuttoning your coat.
Why?
Because I want to.
He shrugs. His reply is both arrogant and boyish. The top button opens, revealing a sliver of my skin.
Thomas, don't. Please.
Keep reading.
He unbuttons the second one, then the third, followed by the fourth. Out of habit, I expect cold to rush in any minute, but I know it won't. Thomas is close. The sun follows him wherever he goes. I let go of the knob and curl my hand over his, stopping him from going further.
Please, stop.
His eyes lift, and I can't draw in a breath. If I thought he needed me to read the poem for some bizarre reason only he's privy to, then I was wrong. That wasn't need. That wasn't anything. This is need. This. The flush of his cheeks. The clench of his jaw. The flare of his nostrils dragging in a bucketful of air as though his lungs are starved. He is starved for me. I've never been looked at this way before. Never been someone's blazing focus of attention. My body, my very soul pressures me to move my hand from on top of his.
Oh God, I'm going to let him do this, aren't I? I'm going to let him unbutton my coat.
My hand falls away and he continues his task. The silence is too much. And the only way to fill it is by reading the poem. So I do it. A warmth. My coat is completely unbuttoned now. My chunky green sweater shows through the gap. Guess what? It has buttons too. He parts my coat, careful to not touch my skin, and pushes it over my shoulders. I roll them and it hangs lifelessly, awkwardly from my body. Thomas runs his finger along the V of my sweater, feeling the soft but fuzzy cloth before stopping at the top pearl-white button. A drop of sweat skates down my spine and I arch my back. Only a fraction, but he notices. The vein on the side of his neck pounds in answer. A warmth invisible. It leaps and grows. Turns my skin red and roars. Then I burn. Slow and steady. It hurts when you look at me. Thomas has reached the middle of my sweater, and there is no way I can focus on reading. I let the notebook fall along with my coat and grab the knob with my other hand. I'm sliding down. My thighs are slippery, my hands sweaty.
There's an inferno in my stomach, courtesy of the fire breather.
Finish the poem, Layla,
he says, his fingers about to reach the last button. I attempt to shake my head, but in reality, it lulls from side to side against the door. I can't do it. It's too much. I look at the ceiling and scrunch my eyes closed when I feel him pop the last button. Tamping down a needy moan, I clamp my quivering thighs together.
Next time.
I hear the smile in his voice and latch on to his words. There's going to be a next time? I snap my attention back to his slightly bent head. He is clutching the edges of my green sweater in a tight fist. The color on his knuckles is leached out, leaving them white and almost trembling with need. I can see he is as desperate to unveil my skin as I am to expose it to him. His gaze sweeps up to my rather exposed chest. The swell of my breasts is showing over the boat-necked black shirt I'm wearing, which also has buttons. The longer he stares at them, the heavier my tits become, much heavier than their usual B-sized weight. Thomas shoots me an infuriated look through his lashes.
Another?
At first I'm confused as to what he means, but then I realize he's talking about my shirt. Layers, sorry. He doesn't smile, but his irritation is gone, replaced by amusement and a tinge of warmth. His fists loosen and he begins again. One by one he pops the buttons of my shirt. I gasp when his knuckles skim over my breasts. They swell and tingle on the side, as if expanding, and my nipples itch, growing hard. A strange soreness grips them. Just touch me already. He reaches my stomach and it hollows out as I lose my breath. Then finally it's done. My shirt hangs open, exposing my white bra and the wide expanse of my stomach. He takes me in with greedy eyes, and at the sound of his harsh breath, I whisper, "What? What is it?" He is focused on my belly button ring, and then it happens. He touches me, but only with his pinky. It hooks through the ring and pulls.
"Fuck,"
he mutters. "Do you not like it?"
"No, I fucking love it."
At his unguarded and guttural words, I give in to the pull of his finger and bow my back off the door. Our hips crash and I feel his cock against my belly. "Oh God, it's so big," I moan, unable to stop myself. As soon as I say it, I'm ashamed, probably blushing. My skin feels hot. Thomas tenses.
"I never knew. I wondered, though."
"What?" His eyes roam around, from the tops of my breasts to my belly button ring.
"That you blush with your whole body."
I blush harder, making him chuckle. My heart sighs at the rich sound. I want to live here, in this moment. It's honest and almost fantastical. It's a different world altogether. A land of no rules, no past or future, just the present. With his other hand, he snaps the clasp of my bra and lets the cups dangle on the sides, exposing my swollen tits and rosy nipples. My skin combusts. I'm breathing with my entire body now, shaking and undulating. I want to cover myself even as my nipples itch to be touched, pulled at, sucked on. No one, not a single person has seen me this way. Not even the night I gave Caleb my virginity in darkness. Thomas licks his lips and gulps in a shuddering breath. He needs me. And that makes me need him more. "I'm so achy," I whisper. And he stares at me with dark and dilated pupils. "Please, you have to touch me. You just have to." My begging arouses him, and that in turn arouses me.
so much so that my innermost muscles clench and gape repeatedly. Thomas presses his thumb at the base of my neck. My pulse skitters and then pounds. With hooded eyes, he trails his thumb down, bumping over my collarbone, traveling through the valley of my breasts. Just his thumb.
Oh, God.
My voice doesn't sound like mine. It's throaty and abraded with lust. He circles around my breast, caressing the top, winding around the side and scratching the bottom.
Like this?
He asks in my ear, his shirt whispering over my skin. My right leg lifts up and hooks around his hips, cradling his cock close to my covered but needy pussy.
Yes, but more.
I press my half-naked body to his clothed one, getting off on the friction. He repeats the motion on my left breast, over and over. My nipples jut out in anticipation of his touch, but it never comes. He tortures me with light caresses, never giving me something to hold on to, reducing my skin to a canvas of goosebumps.
You're so mean,
I tell him, frustrated but leaning into him nonetheless.
But you like it.
He blows a hot breath in my ear. I shouldn't.
Yes.
I should just leave.
Yeah.
This is wrong.
I moan, circling my hips, bumping against his cock.
The wrongest thing I've ever done.
Of all the times, he picks this moment to pinch my nipple and give it a harsh pull, much like he did with my belly button ring. Like before, I give in to the call and rub my pulsating breasts against his chest, searching for that magical friction.
God, what are we doing?
I pant into his shirt.
The wrongest thing we've ever done,
he says, repeating my words.
So yeah, you should leave. You should just go, and don't ever come back.
I look up at him and witness something splitting open in his expression, leaving him completely exposed. Flicking his thumb over my nipple, he massages my entire breast in his palm.
Because I'm selfish, Layla. I'll ruin you, set you on fire and won't even look back. I'll take and take until you're empty and hollow.
He keeps at his slow torture.
You should push me away. Shout at me for undressing you, and you should slam the door in my face on your way out. And when you're out there in the hallway, knock three doors down and report me.
Never. I'll never tell on you.
One side of his lips quirks up.
Never is a long time, Miss Robinson.
Maybe.
Both of his hands move up and cradle my cheek.
Sometimes I forget how young you are.
I'm not that young,
I say insistently, pressing myself closer to him, trying to climb up his sexy body like I did at the bar.
Go, Layla.
He doesn't let me go, though.
I'll probably steal your naivete, too.
Yes, I should go. I should go, drop the class, and never come back. I should. It could be that I'm stupid and young, as he says I am, but I feel the loneliness in his teasing voice. I see the clenching of his back muscles when Hadley left him in the room. I hear his never-ending battle with his impulse. Boldness strikes me and I circle my arms around his neck, flattening my breasts on his hard chest. Then maybe I should just give it to you, so you don't have to steal. My naivete, I mean. So you could help me grow up. He is silent for a few seconds, and I'm scared I crossed a line. It's such a funny thought after the way I'm wrapped around him, that I bite my lip to stop an inappropriate, hysterical laugh from bubbling out.
You want me to make you a grown-up, Miss Robinson?
His eyes smolder. And I'm glad I've got my arms around him, or I would have dropped to the floor in a puddle.
Something is so weirdly erotic in that sentence. I don't have time to analyze it because he begins moving his hips, giving me that sweet friction. And Jesus fucking Christ, it's the best thing I've ever experienced. The pressure is making my wounded pussy bleed cum. He leans into me, curls his large body around my small one.
How do you suggest I do that?
I don't know, I gasp, rocking along with him.
Well, if you don't know, then I can't help you.
He pauses his movements. Please, don't stop. I...
You what?
I look at him with drugged eyes. He appears darker, bigger, like he can absorb the world into his body until there's nothing left but him and me. I need it. I need you.
To do what?
To move.
And that's it?
No, I want more. I push my hips against his and flex my thighs around his waist. I want you to fuck me. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe it was my voice, desperate and small, like that of a little girl. He breathes in sharply. There's excitement in his eyes, dark and mean and so fucking irresistible. I feel things change between us. Whatever dynamic our non-relationship relationship had has now shifted.
Fuck you? How? With my big hard cock?
I'm shocked and so fucking aroused. There are alarms ringing in my head, blaring, honking, bellowing. This is so wrong. But his guttural voice still penetrates through and shakes a thick drop of cum out of me. I feel it roll out of my pussy and soak into my already wet, white, innocent panties. Yes. God, please. I rotate my hips once more against his stationary body.
Are you sure you can take it?
He grinds his forehead into mine.
Maybe it won't fit in your tiny pussy.
I jerk at his words. No. No, it will. I know it will. It'll fit. I whine, hungry and eager and playing my part in this weird game.
What if it's painful? What if it stretches your hole so much that it hurts?
His fingers twitch and flex around my face. He's loving the rush of power. He's getting off on the control he has over me. I don't care. I don't care about anything. I'll take the pain. I'll do anything.
For my cock?
He is the sexiest thing I've ever seen. Big and brooding. His face a mosaic of lust and need. Yeah, I'll do anything for you. I nod my head and say in a small voice, yes, I'll do anything for you to make me a grown-up. Thomas growls and his hands settle on my hips. I'm expecting him to haul me to his chest, but he keeps me pinned to the door and moves away.
Not today.
His chest shudders with difficult breaths.
Go home, Layla.
But Thomas tucks my unruly hair behind my ear.
You should probably hold on to your naivete a little while longer. So just go home.
Chapter 16. I had a bad dream, and now I can't go back to sleep. I've been tossing and turning for hours. I pull myself up, sighing in frustration. In the past, before Caleb went away, I'd call him, no matter the time, and ask him to hold me. I can't imagine us ever getting back to that place. I feel so lonely. I haven't felt this lonely since Emma moved in. Turning on the light, I reach out, pick up my notebook from the nightstand, and open to the last page I wrote on. I thumb the tiny curls of paper around the white spiral where a page has been torn off. My poem. Before sending me on my way, Thomas tore the page and kept the poem for himself. He didn't say anything, just folded it and slid it into his pocket while staring at me,
I shiver under the blanket as if his eyes are still on me, hot and hooded with desire. It makes me aware of the lingering wetness between my legs, how I threw myself at him and he denied me, never even touched me with more than a finger on my chest and belly, a palm on my cheeks. I'm dying for him. Dying. It's all I can think about, that and how immoral it is. With each passing day, I'm crossing more and more lines. Where does it stop, I wonder? How does it stop? Why can't I control myself? I thump my head on the headboard, try to put pen to paper, but nothing comes out. Nothing feels right. I want to write, but I can't bring myself to, so I try to read. Maybe Barthes or Plath will have some insight. Barthes tells me it's okay if things are hopeless, and Plath tells me to kill myself, so I shut them down. Then I drag my laptop from the desk and look up Thomas on the university's website. I've seen this page a million times since classes started, but still my breath halts for a moment when I take in his face. Handsome, unsmiling, unattainable. My eyes home in on his office phone number, the tiny 10-digit number located under his office address. I've seen that number before, but I've never really seen it, never really thought about it. I sit up and look for my phone. It's wedged between the mattress and the headboard. I swipe across the screen, ignoring messages from Caleb, and dial the number. It's crazy. I don't even know why I'm calling. What am I going to say to him? Besides, I don't even think he's going to be in his office this late at night. But I need a connection with him, even if it's flimsy, even if it's with his answering machine. In fact, I'm counting on it. I'll say whatever I want to say and then hang up and go to sleep. On the third ring, there's a click, and then his sandpapery voice fills my ears.
Hello.
I almost drop the phone. Thomas?
Layla?
The creak of his chair sounds.
What? Why are you calling me this late at night?
I didn't expect you to pick up. He is silent for a few seconds. Maybe just as stunned as I am, or maybe thinking about what happened between us only a few hours ago.
See, if you don't want me to pick up my phone, then don't call me on my phone.
I puff out a breath and fall against my pillow, grinning like a fool at his teasing tone. I just thought you'd be at home. This time the silence is loaded, as if I stepped on a landmine. But his voice doesn't reflect any turmoil.
Now that we've established that I'm not, do you mind telling me why the hell you are calling?
I want to ask him what's going on with him, but I don't. I know he won't tell me. He's only honest in those stolen moments, in my desperation. I can't sleep.
I blurt out instead,
and funnily, it sounds pouty. He hears my strange voice, which apparently only comes out when he's around, and sucks in a breath. Where is this coming from? This ache, this restlessness, this boldness. I can't stay still. I'm rustling my legs together, playing with the neck of my white cami.
And you thought talking to me would put you to sleep? Your flattery knows no end, does it?
His voice is hoarse as he makes the joke, and just like that, the loneliness is gone. As I said, I didn't expect you to pick up. I didn't know who to call. I let him adjust to the truth. Meanwhile, I brace myself for his signature rudeness. But deep down, I know it won't come. Thomas isn't deliberately mean. He just pretends to be for some reason.
Why can't you sleep?
He asks in a low tone, proving me right. I had a bad dream, I say, snuggling into the pillow. About Caleb. Well, not a bad dream per se. I mean, he was happy in it, or at least he looked like it from where I was standing. He was kinda having sex. A deep breath, mine before I confess. With a guy. Nothing. No sound on the other end. I decide I don't need him to say anything. Not yet. I want to get this out first. He's gay. I throw out a short laugh.
The guy I grew up with, the guy I've loved all my life, is gay. And you know the worst part? I never knew. I never even saw a hint that he might be gay. He never told me, and I never took the time to notice. He said sleeping with me was his way of checking if he could switch teams. Another short laugh bubbles out of me, this one harsher. I'm an idiot, aren't I? A complete moron, a selfish moron. That felt good. My chest isn't caving anymore. The weight of this secret isn't mangling my bones. Thomas is silent again, so I coax him. Say something. No, wait. Say something helpful. Not one of your sarcastic comments that help no one but you.
And why should I withhold for you?
I like that he's teasing me, not treating me with kid gloves. Not that he is even capable of doing so. Because I've decided we're friends. That's why the word vomit.
You hump all your friends? He growls.
Oh, God. My eyes flutter and I squeeze my thighs together. No, we're not just friends.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. I nod and open my mouth to say something. But it doesn't matter what, because I'm struck by a revelation. An epiphany. We're soulmates. I can't breathe. And at the same time, I feel light as a balloon.
Excuse me?
Yes. My eyes widen as everything slides into place. That's it. We're soulmates.
What?
Oh, would you relax? I can imagine the vein on the side of his neck pulsing. Not the kind who end up together or live happily ever after. We're not that kind of soulmates. Even I'm not that naive. What I mean is, we understand each other. We're similar. Well, similar in all the ways that count. Thomas sighs long and hard and shifts in his chair. I know he doesn't believe me, but it's so obvious. We both understand one-sided love better than anyone we know, I explain. And I know you don't like to hear about it, but the other night when I saw you through the window, for which I apologize once again, by the way, the expression on your face, it was like I was looking in a mirror. It was like I could read your every thought. I could feel your every thought. I felt it in my stomach. I clear my throat. So you see, we're soulmates.
You're right.
Excitement bubbles inside me. I am, aren't I?
Yeah, I don't like to hear about it.
Oh. I swallow and deflate against my pillow, staring at the white ceiling. He shifts in his chair again and I imagine him mimicking me, head pushed back, staring at the blank ceiling. I don't know how long we stay silent this time, hearing each other breathe. I can't let him go, though. I can't be the one to break this connection. And neither can he, apparently. It's such a soothing delusion that he wants me to breathe in his ears so he knows he isn't alone. Maybe it isn't a delusion at all.
Do you know what a vestigial organ is, Layla?
He asks, after I made countless patterns around my belly button with my middle finger. What?
It's an organ that's useless. It serves no purpose. It's defunct, extra baggage. It's just there because we haven't evolved enough.
Okay.
But they are quite capable of giving you pain. Oh yeah, they might even kill you. Slowly until you're begging for it.
Why are you talking about useless organs?
Because unrequited love is like a dead, useless organ. It's functionless. It's sicker than a disease. You can cure a disease, but you can't fix a defective soul. That's the most frustrating thing in the world, to be that powerless.
I'm all dried up, parched. Every cell in my body hurts for him, for me, for us. His pained words haunt my insides. Why aren't you home, Thomas?
Because it's not home when she's not in it,
he admits quietly. I dig my nails into the soft flesh of my belly, trying to translate his emotional agony into my physical discomfort. And I'm struck by another epiphany,
I don't know what he is to me, but I know what I am to him. He needs me. He needs to exert his power over me because his love has made him powerless. He needs me begging because his love has made him a beggar himself. The lust he feels for me comes from the love he feels for her. A thick tear skates down from the corner of my eye to my hair. I bite my lip to keep from making any sounds.
Go to sleep, Layla.
I wipe my nose with the back of my hand and swallow the jagged lump in my throat. Will you stay on the phone while I sleep? His breath slips before getting heavier. Please?
Yeah, okay.
I sigh in relief. Thank you. He hums his assent. Good night. He hums again. I close my grainy eyelids, feeling comforted. I hope he does too. Time passes. Questions flit through my mind. Where is Hadley? Is that what I heard through the window that night? Where's Nikki? He's my soulmate too. You know, we should get matching bracelets or something. Soulmates should definitely have a matching something. I mumble, warm and drowsy.
Okay, but I don't like purple.
A weak chuckle escapes me and I burrow my nose in my purple blanket. Don't worry, it'll grow on you. I'll get one for Nikki too. He grunts, as if he's falling asleep right along with me. As I slide deeper into sleep, I feel it in my resting and cozy heart. Thomas and I are meant to be. This thing between us was supposed to happen. Because I'm a girl who's not supposed to be the love of someone's life, not with my selfishness. I was meant to live in the shadows and secrets. I can be Thomas's secret. For a little while, at least. Until I absorb all of his pain and set him free. It's well after midnight, the exact time I spoke to Thomas on the phone a couple of days ago. I should be staying in bed, trying to sleep. I shouldn't be running toward him, but I am. I have to show him something, something I got for him in a very impulsive decision. Oh well, when am I not impulsive? The labyrinth is quiet and sleepy when I enter with a swipe of my ID card. This is the first time I've seen it so empty, without its noisy activities. The walls feel intimate, carrying a million secrets. Or maybe it's just me. I climb the stairs and walk down the hallway until I'm standing in front of his office door, panting in the cold. My nose is running in a very unflattering manner. I get a handle on my reaction to the freaking winter before I turn the knob. It gives with a soft click. He is here. My gut told me he would be. And there he is by the window, illuminated by the lamp sitting on his empty desk. He turns, a cigarette in his sexy mouth, as he hears me enter. He looks exhausted. His energy extinguished in a certain way I can't explain. He sucks in a drag and blows out a long strand of smoke. In the dismal lighting of the room, with shadows flickering on the wall, he doesn't even look like he belongs in this world. He is too beautiful, too haunted to be human. I swallow a lengthy shiver rolling through my body as I enter and close the door behind me. My hair must look windblown after running through the streets to get here. My cheeks must be red and flushed. And so must the skin of my thighs where my fur coat and knee-high boots don't meet, leaving them bare and unprotected. I want to show you something. I lick my lips and lock the door with a click. I've always thought of my body as a curse. It has incessant needs, the wrong kind of cravings. But after meeting Thomas, I realized my body could be a tool. It could be his tool. So there is no shyness in me when I open the buttons of my coat, staring into his unblinking, unmoving eyes. I watch for his reactions. Does he like my boldness? Hate it? The color of his face is heightened and the lean muscles of his chest twitch as he looks on. It bolsters my courage, gives me reassurance that this is the right thing to do. I part the lapels and roll my shoulders to take the coat off me. It falls to the floor and I jerk at the sensation of my thick curls teasing my naked back. Yeah, I'm naked. Except for the black knee-high boots and, of course, the ankle-length purple polka-dot socks under them. Goosebumps course in my skin as I stand in front of him for his perusal. My curves are slight. My breasts are small and my waist is tiny. In preparation for tonight, I shaved everything so my skin is smooth and pale, and my cunt bare. His gaze sweeps over my face and then skates down, down and down. And then he stops. I know what he's staring at. I did it for him. The tick in his jaw throws me for a loop. Is he angry or horny? I can't tell. I hope for the latter. I hope tonight is the night he ruins me, steals away my naivete, and finds some peace in it. In a snap, he throws the cigarette out the window and shuts it, muffling the sound of snow-laden wind. He faces me again, and with his eyes trained on my stomach, he prowls forward. My core clenches at his lazy but charged steps. He stops a few feet away and reaches out his hand. I gasp as his cold fingers touch my quivering stomach, the reddened skin around my newly gotten tattoo. It's the circle of a flame around my navel, and I switched out my belly button ring for a sapphire-colored stud. His thumb moves over the shape of the flames and I whisper, "It's the color of your eyes." The flames are blue, just like his gaze. I wait for the shame to pour out of me. I'm showing the guy I haven't even slept with that I've permanently marked him on my body. You don't get any clingier than that. But I feel no shame. I feel no need to hide from Thomas. Not like the way I've always felt with Caleb. Hiding my feelings. Watching him from the shadows. You remind me of some kind of fire breather. I explain further. Thomas snags my gaze with his intense ones. They mimic an inferno with savage emotions as he comes down to his knees. Thomas? I clutch his shoulders to stay steady. He breathes heavily, noisily, as if in reply, and then his mouth is on me. His tongue lashes over the jeweled stud as he wraps his arms around my waist to bring me closer. My head falls back on a low and heavy moan, and my hands travel up from the swell of his shoulders to his thick, silky hair. I thread my fingers through the strands and pull on them when his open mouth kisses and the suction of his hot mouth become too much. Is it possible to get wet from someone sucking on your tummy? Maybe it's crazy, but who cares? I'm wet and getting wetter by the second as he laps at my skin with hungry, ravenous licks. The area around my tattoo is still tender, and his tiny nips make me feel like he'll break my fragile body open. The thought oozes out a thick drop of cum from my clenching pussy. Thomas growls as if he knows what my core is up to. I'm riding the high caused by his needy grunt when my back crashes into the door and my leg is lifted before settling on his shoulder. He kisses and bites my lower tummy, sucking in the soft skin, leaving what I'm sure are red marks all over. I look down just as he scrapes his stubble on the inside of my lifted thigh and cradles it between his arm and his neck. The action is simultaneously arousing and tender, and my eyes are very close to watering. He splays the fingers of his free hand on my other thigh and parts it open. My pussy clenches shyly at being on display before him, making his shoulders bob with a long breath. Thomas looks up at me, his eyes dark and smoky, burnt all the way through with lust.
"I'm going to suck on your pussy, Layla."
They're the very first words he's spoken since I came to him. They sound raspy and guttural, ripped from the depths of his soul. They are enough to make me come, and my eyes strain to flutter closed, but I keep them open. I want to see him. I want to see the beginnings of my ruination. Okay, I whisper unnecessarily. Still staring at me with a fevered look, he nuzzles his nose just over my pubic bone, sending electric shocks to my core. Slowly he moves down, his lips breathing over my skin. The first contact of his mouth to my freshly shaven pussy is a shock. It sears me. I feel it everywhere, inside and out. Thomas sweeps his tongue from the clit right down to the entrance that is aching, has been aching for him. At my moan, he buries his face closer, rubbing his nose, his mouth into my wetness. He takes a long sniff, smelling me, breathing me in. It's enough to make me go crashing to the floor, and I would if he wasn't holding me in his arms. With a gusty breath, he latches onto my clit and sucks. I moan out his name, my head thumping on the door and my lower body bowing off. It's too much. The suction of his mouth on that tiny bud. I've never had it in someone's mouth, and God, oh, God, I'm shaking.
You taste like cherry. Plum. Sweet cherry.
He murmurs into my pussy before smothering it with his lips. A tiny smile blooms on my lips at his rumpled declaration, but soon it turns into a turned-on grimace. I massage his scalp with my fingers, making him grunt low and gather me close, even closer in his arms. I arch into his mouth, digging the heel of my boot into his back. My needy actions spur him on, and his hardened tongue rains down on me with all its might. Oh God, Thomas, I break off at a moan that originates in my belly. I can't. It's too much. It hurts. He pulls on my clit before letting go of it with a pop.
Good. You make me hurt too.
With that, he dives back in and vacuums my wet, sticky lips. My entire pussy fits into his greedy mouth as he eats it, nibbles on it, chews it out. All I can do is take it. Let him make a meal out of me. Oh God, it stings so good.
Fuck.
His agonized whisper brings my attention to his bowed head. I loosen my fingers from where I've been strangling the beautiful strands of his hair.
Your pussy is so tight. Tighter than I ever imagined it to be. And I've imagined a lot.
My breath evaporates as he looks up. He is aroused, flushed and sweating. Yet he appears godlike. How's that possible when he's the one on his knees? He's a beautiful, sexy god who has my sticky juices painted on his mouth and chin. It glistens in the yellow light like liquid fire.
I'm not proud of it. I don't want to think about it, but you tempt me, Layla. So fucking much. You make me feel crazy.
With that, he falls on me. That's the only way to describe it. His lips lock around my clit before going back down to my sopping entrance. He crams his tongue in my channel and Jesus, it hurts so bad, but in a very, very good way. The sting is what makes this entire thing real, and I wouldn't trade it for a comfortable all-pleasure fuck for anything. Now that Thomas is inside, he swirls his tongue, feeling me up. He alternates between thrusting his tongue in and out and bumping it across the crevices of my cunt. The lashing, the suction, the way he growls. It's all rolling into a big ball of fire inside my stomach. The blue flames around my belly button burn bright and alive. I'm going to come. I wheeze out, rolling my hips, pulling on his hair. He doubles his efforts, if that's possible, and pushes me off the edge. I fall off the tightrope I've been walking and come. I fly, shaking and quivering and chanting Thomas's name. My heart races and bursts into a million pieces, traveling to every corner of my body with the furious rush of my blood. I become my heart, a pounding mess, and my heart becomes me, sleepy and peaceful in the midst of my climax. I think I black out for a few seconds because the next thing I know, Thomas is standing up, dragging my previously fallen coat over my arms. My orgasm-addled brain is confused as he buttons up my coat. My mind goes to the last time I was here, and he kept opening them. His actions are so not what I was expecting when I came here, not after what he said to me about imagining my pussy. I put my hand on his as he is about to close the last button beneath my chin. What are you doing? He looks up. His eyes are still burning, his cheeks slashed with red. He wipes his mouth against his arm, making me catch my breath. That move was so masculine, so fucking primal that I can't help but be affected by it.
Taking you home.
His voice is scratchy, as if he hasn't spoken in a while. What? Why?
Because you need to leave.
He knocks my hand off his and finishes buttoning my coat. The gesture is aggressive, angry, and I can't breathe for a second. But I... He straightens the collar of my coat as if I'm a child and stares into my eyes.
If you want someone to fuck you, you need to look somewhere else. Don't come back here. We're not friends, we're not anything, you understand?
I remain quiet. My ability to form words is gone. Thomas isn't happy, and neither is the tick flickering on his hard jaw.
Do you understand, Layla?
He asks again, with gritted teeth and flaring nostrils. Yes. He moves away from me, cool and unapproachable, and breathes deep.
Let's go.
Chapter 17. How the fuck did it go so wrong? I thought... What did I think? Yes, what was I thinking? That he'd sleep with me? That his pain is so big, so agonizing, that he'd commit the sin of adultery? Not everyone is like me. Not everyone is selfish and impulsive and a goddamn moron. I sob and groan and cover my face with my palms, even though I'm alone in my stone-cold bathtub. Thomas dropped me off an hour ago, without saying a word. The entire ride took less than 5 minutes, and from the inside of his car, campus looked even more forbidding and dark and desolate. I didn't even wait for the car to come to a full stop before I jumped out and dashed into my tower. And now I am here, drowning in embarrassment and guilt and anger. We're not anything. If he didn't want me, then why did he make me come? Why did he put his mouth on me and let me shatter in his arms only to kick me out the door? My tattoo is buzzing with heat. How crazy does someone have to be to do something like this for a man who isn't even her boyfriend? Thomas has to be the most confusing man I've ever met. Not that I've met many men in my life. My love for Caleb took care of that. I slide down and lie on my side, bringing my legs to my chest and curling into a fetal position. I spend the night in my bathtub, oscillating between sobbing and being angry. In the morning, I hear a crash and I'm jerked upright. There are angry noises, and I run out of my room to see what's going on.
I'm not taking their side. What's wrong with you?
Dylan booms, shaking his head.
I don't want to talk about this. Can you just leave?
Emma is holding the front door open, her face tight and inflexible. Dylan runs a hand over his face and sighs.
Fine, whatever. You're being unreasonable.
With that, he strides out of the apartment. I decide it's safe to speak. Hey,
What's going on?
Emma is still holding the door, staring down the hallway. She turns to me slowly and closes the door behind her.
Sorry, did we wake you?
She drags her feet to the couch and plops down on it, dejected. I sit beside her.
No, it's fine. Tell me what happened.
It's nothing. It's stupid. It's not stupid if you kick Dylan out of the apartment first thing in the morning because of it. She turns to me and seethes.
He was being a moron, that's why.
Okay, about what?
I realize this is what normal life feels like. Fighting with your boyfriend, kicking him out, and then bitching about it with your friend. These are normal problems to have. I wish I had normal problems. Normal problems are so much better than what I have.
About spring break, Emma replies.
My mom wants me to come home. I don't want to, but Dylan is insisting that we go. He wants me to bond with my mom or something.
And that's a bad thing? Why?
She sighs and peers up at me. I've never seen her this serious and this calm. It's kind of scary. My mom. She is not a nice person. I don't like her, and that's never going to change. My heart is beating anxiously. Is that why she never talks about her parents?
I remember the heated phone call she had when she first moved in. Dylan was the one to calm her down. Since then, I've never seen her talk to her family.
Did she do something to you?
I ask, apprehensive.
No, not to me. To my dad.
She sighs, looking away from me and staring at the wall.
She cheated on my dad, and he had no clue.
None. Air rushes out of me, and I feel like I'm collapsing on myself as she continues.
It hit him out of nowhere. He was devastated. I mean, how could you do that to a person you promised to spend your entire life with?
My throat is dry and scratchy. It's rejecting words, but somehow I manage to mumble,
I'm sorry.
She shakes her head and goes on, as if she didn't hear me.
She destroyed our family. My dad lost his job because he couldn't keep up with it. They spent months fighting over custody of me. I was a minor, so I didn't have a say, and my mom won because my dad wasn't stable enough to take care of me. On top of that, she married the man she cheated on my dad with. As soon as I turned 18, I decided I'd never step foot in that house again.
She turns to look at me, her eyes glassy.
I'm never going back. Never. I hate her and what she did to us.
How's your dad? Emma shrugs.
He's fine. He's dating someone. As much as I'm happy for him, it's too weird for me. But I don't begrudge him that. He deserves all the happiness, you know?
Yes, I nod. Too ashamed to do anything else. Too guilty. How would she react if she knew what I did last night? Is there any way to justify cheating? Is there any way I can ever tell her, my new friend, my only friend who seems to like me, what wrong I almost committed last night? Last night will be another one of my many, many secrets. I can never tell her. I can never tell anyone.
I can't. I can't go back to being lonely again. It's too scary now. Hey, you okay?
Emma puts her hand on my shoulder.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to unload on you like this. It's way too early for that.
I'm fine. I'm just... I'm sorry.
Not your fault.
She stares at me with a critical eye now.
Why do you look like a raccoon? When did you get home last night? Where did you even go?
I'm terrified, panicked, a statue of shame and guilt. I went and offered myself up to our married professor because I thought he was lonely like me, and I thought extramarital sex would be just the thing to cheer him up. Oh, God. I can't even say it in my head without wanting to kick myself.
I just went out for a walk.
With all that makeup on? Oh, yeah, the makeup. Along with grooming myself,
I also attempted to put makeup on. It's all ruined now. Yeah, I do that sometimes. I stand, unable to bear her shrewd eyes. Do you want to get coffee? Let's get coffee. Emma knows I'm hiding something but doesn't push. Just leaves to get changed for our coffee run. Thank God. If I have my way, last night will be the only secret of mine for a long, long time to come. It's night again. Emma is sleeping in the next room. She's still mad at Dylan, even though I've tried to reason with her. Dylan was just being a caring boyfriend who wanted Emma to give her mom another chance. I called Dylan and he told me that it was simply a casually thrown idea that got out of hand. One of those arguments that escalate unexpectedly. And now even he doesn't want to talk to her. I'm trying to go to sleep, but I can't do it. I can't fall asleep. I'm staring at the ceiling trying to stay put and then my phone rings. A gasp catches in my throat and I have to shoot up to a sitting position to be able to breathe. It's Thomas. It's his office number. I'm too shocked to pick up the call and the ringing stops. It's visceral. The loss I feel at a mere missed call. But he's never called me before. I jump up from the bed, shed my pajamas, don a skirt and t-shirt, pile on my winter gear and I'm out the door. Like last night, I run and run and don't stop until I'm at the labyrinth. I climb up the steps and reach Thomas's office door with an urgency I didn't have last night. I turn the knob and it gives, exactly like yesterday, and I enter. This time, Thomas is sitting on the chair staring at the phone on his desk. He jerks his eyes up when I close the door. I'm panting, drawing in difficult breaths as his gaze tangles up with mine. It's angry, furious. Blazing as if he's on fire. He takes in a sharp breath and stands, nostrils flaring. My heart is pounding. It doesn't understand the role it needs to play. Should it be afraid or thrilled to be the subject of Thomas's intensity? Can it be both?
I told you not to come back here.
Though his voice isn't angry like last night, the cutting edge is still there. It still manages to stutter my breath and douse me in shame. You called me, I tell him, angry and aroused. Thomas rounds the desk and advances on me.
So?
So, why did you do that if you didn't want me here? Another step toward me and I press my spine to the door. Well, why did you call? Before I can stop myself, I add, and... If we aren't anything to each other, why did you... He stops in front of me. He is close. Too close. And I'm caged between him and the door. All of this is deja vu. Repeated history. I can still hear his words. I can still hear him telling me we are nothing to each other. That's what hurt me the most.
Why did I what?
I lift up my chin. Even though I want to shrink into myself. Why did you make me come? If you hate me so much, why did you do that? Thomas puts his palms on either side of my head and strains down on them, bringing his face extremely close to me.
You think I hate you?
A short laugh escapes him, resembling the bark of an animal.
I don't hate you, Layla,
he grits out. It sounds exactly like he hates me. So you like me? I squeak. My naive question seems to have angered him more. His face is red, the vein on his neck bulging out. It's scary.
God, you make me so fucking mad.
He shakes his head.
Do you think this is a joke? Huh? Do you think we're in high school? Do you think I'm going to kiss you and make out with you and take you to the movies or something? Is that what you think, Layla?
No.
Then what do you think is going on here?
I don't know.
You don't know. You got a fucking tattoo for me. You came to me naked. You can't seem to stop throwing yourself at me.
He mocks me and my eyes water.
Are you telling me you have no clue what's going on here?
Tears spill and track down my cheeks. I hate him. I hate him so much.